the scripture. Derek, I also got it, man. Who else is excited when we read the Bible? Huh? Now all of you need to put up your hands. Yeah, not just Keenan. Genesis 12. Lucky Neon. Genesis 12 is 1. Let's just read together. Then of the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and I will be, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left, as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot and all the possessions they had and accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to the land of Canaan and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there and to the Lord who appeared to him. From there he went towards the hills of the east at Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the Lord's name. Then Abram set out and continued towards Negev. Hebrews 11 verse 8 says, by faith, Abram, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So you can either in this life have two mindsets. Well, there's other mindsets, but they all fall into these two categories. The one is a worldly mindset, which is the pursuit of temporary pleasures and material possessions. It is fixated on accumulation of wealth, status, and power. Success is marked by external markers such as wealth, popularity, social standing, but we often find ourselves empty and searching for something more meaningful. When you have that mindset, or you can have eternity mindset, which is focus on that which is eternal. Focus on spiritual values, compassion, humility, seeking the will of God. It is characterized by love, compassion, humility, and service to others. Love one another. Derek. Love one another. To align one's life with the will of God, recognizing that true fulfillment comes from living in accordance with His divine guidance. What is your mindset at this moment? Is it for me? Am I living for me? Or am I living for Him? Now, the Lord came to Abraham, just to give you some context. At that stage, he was a pagan. He did not believe in God. They had idolatry worship. And so God came to him, and we read in Hebrews 11, verse 8, says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And Genesis 12, verse 1 says, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household to go to the land I will show you. There was a call to come out of something and to go into something. He was very familiar of what he's coming out of. His family, everything that was known to him, his people, his homeland. He was very familiar to this. And then God says, go to a place you don't know where you're going. And it was a call to come out of idolatry, a call to come out of the world A call to come out of that which to him, amen. There was a call to come out. And he says here, leave your country. The call, leave that which is idolatry. Leave that which is the world. Leave the worldly mindset. Leave that. Now, you know the word leave means leave, no? Okay. But I, for interest's sake, I just went to actually look this up. It's like, what is the Hebrew word for this? I mean, I want it just to sound a bit clever here. No. But I was quite interested, like when I saw the word leave. And actually, that word can also be translated as to pass away, to die. So leave, to die to that which is what you know. And I'm calling you to go to something you don't know. And that's the mindset of eternity. It's like to die to what I want, my pleasures, living for pleasure, and to live for him, eternity. And so he was called to die to that. And I mean, I read the scripture last week. It says in John 12, verse 24, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. If you die to that which is of the world, to what I want, I think it was very comfortable. I mean, he was 75 years old. One commentary said he was in his middle life. So probably, I was like, that's probably today the end of his life. But but he actually became very old. So he was in the middle of his life. And God calls him to come out of that which is known and go to that which is unknown. And when God called him, he gave him a promise, and he gave him this promise. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Now, we know that Abram was called the father. Father Abram had many sons had Father Abram. So, and God says, I'm going to give you a promise. I'm giving you a promise that I will make you into a great nation. That word grace is a strong nation, a strong people. I will give you a great name. I will bless you. As you go, there will be provision. I will bless you. There will be provision as you go. And then he says, whoever curses you, I will curse. And that thing of like, there will be protection as you go. So whoever comes against you, I will be against. Whoever is for you, I will be for. Before you, before them. Oh, not people, okay. Except for Olivia's. Okay, that was it. All right. And then he gives him this promise, but that's all he has. He doesn't know where he's going. He just said, come out and go where I will lead you. And then he wanders, and he's just going, and he's staying in tents. And then he gets to Canaan, and it says, there the Lord appeared to him. And then he worshipped him and said, I will multiply. So as a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, that seed will multiply. And I mean, that's the... Abram is the father of faith. That's why that seed fell to the ground to what he wants and to his life and gave his life. And that's for me a picture of living life with eternal mindset. That we need to respond to the call of God in our lives. He's calling each one of us. He's calling you. Some of you are actually, he's been calling you to get out of a certain area of sin. And Abram obeyed. And Hebrews 11 says, by faith. How did he respond? He responded by faith when called to go. And he obeyed and went. Abram believed God. Not only He did not only believe the truths about God, he believed in God. You know, you can believe the truths about God and still go nowhere. You can still stay there. You can, okay, well, that's amazing, but you can stay stuck in that place. Or we can be, have an eternal mindset and go respond on the call by faith. By faith. By faith. What is God calling you out of in this moment? What is he calling you out of? Will you obey him? Will you step out in faith? Will you follow him? He believed in God. He trusted in God. He obeyed. How are you following him? How are you following him? Someone with eternity in mind is following him. Because we're just passing through this life. I'm not here to build mansions. I'm not here to build this great life for me. I am just passing through. We are sojourners. We'll read now in one of the verses. A sojourner is a temporary resident. You live in tents. It's not about building this life. You know, I've heard that sometimes men would say, I have to work hard, and they work hours to provide for their family, to build up this amazing thing. And then they have children that never sees their dad. He won't be able to take that mansion with him into heaven, but he would be able to take disciple children as he disciple his own children into heaven. Our mindset sometimes is what we are fixing our eyes on. That is going to hinder us. You can only take with you to heaven people who you have shared the gospel with. Your own children, your own family. All the other things will stay here. Just think about it. I've got a picture here. Now, this is a familiar analogy. I didn't think this out, but I thought it's so good, I have to share it again. All right, that was it, David. Now, this rope, David, I'm too long. I'll say, track him. Okay. Now, in comparison to eternity, this rope is actually very short. Huh? Eternity is much longer. Huh? And our time on earth is like this. We so much invest on this little time on earth, but actually we're just passing through and we have this ahead of us. What you're spending your time, your talents, and your treasures on will have tremendous and real effect on how this will be. Amen. How are you living your life? How are you spending your time? Are you focused, fixated on the things of this world? Or are you living in this time with a mindset like, Lord, I'm following you? You know, actually, eternity-minded is actually to have a mindset of being, Lord, lead me. I'm available. I want to hear your voice. I want to follow where you lead me. How do we respond to change? It's uncomfortable, Morris. It's not nice to change. These are my people. But if you die to yourself, having eternity, that if I shift to another community and give myself there, this might be a disciple that will be made. I will be able to take somebody. I will be uncomfortable for a little bit, but I will make new friends so that somebody else maybe can get through my life. I open up my home and experience Jesus. It's very quiet in here. Are you thinking? Are you thinking or sinking or sleeping? I'm sinking. No. All right. How are you following Jesus in this part of your life? faith, true faith obeys. True faith obeys. Romans 4 verse 3 say, Abram believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Do you believe God? He's calling you out of the things of this world. Do you believe him? You will be in a right place with him. Huh? So last week, this massive storm. Huh? And if we are focused on this, then we will be stressed out. What, the tree is going to fall on my roof. Or this is going to happen. And yeah, we have to be wise and do... where's Rian? Is Rian here? No. Well, he's still traveling. But after I sent the message out that we're not... Rian and Johan and them came to our house and he said, no, my gutters blew off of the house. I'm just... I'm going to go to the mall right now. I'm not going to stand there and try to hold on things. If they have to blow away, they blow away. And then we prayed, actually, and said, Lord, if the storm needs to change, or like we prayed that the wind will not blow as it has been predicted. And we prayed for it to stop. And then he got home, and there was no more damage. And it was like something is like, if you focus just on this and what you have, you'll become anxious. I once went to Isle of Man for a worship conference and went to teach there. And so you have to fly to England, to Gatwick, and then you have to fly from Gatwick to Isle of Man. And they've got these, and Isle of Man is a very small island, and they've got these planes that doesn't have jet engines, it's propellers. Right? So these propellers goes like... So when you sit in it, this thing sounds like a drone taking off, like... And then before it takes off, so we sit in this plane, and I can see the people are nervous now, and they're holding onto the seats now. And so we take off, and this thing's like, and there we go into the air, and then we hit some turbulence where the plane was like doing this. If you're scared of flying, it doesn't always happen. But so we were going. So I was like sitting there, and I know what will happen if I die here today. I will go to heaven. So I was like, woo! I was like, this is nice, and just enjoying the ride. But I saw other people grabbing their chairs and holding on to whatever they could hold on. Those things is temporary. If that plane falls, you will fall. But if you hold on to Jesus, whatever happens, you'll be okay. What are you fixing? Your time, your talents, and your treasures. What are you living for? Are you living for yourself? Or are you like Abraham? When the call came, you said, yes, Lord, I'll go. And then it says, by faith he made his home like a stranger in a foreign country. That word stranger is foreign, temporary residence. We want to be settlers. We want to go to another place, but then we want to make a home, build the walls, make it as build this mansion. And I'm not saying today, don't build things, don't have children. I'm not saying that. That's the extreme of that. I'm saying is, hear his voice and follow him. It might be that as you hear his voice, it says, have children. Yes. Okay. Marry. Yes. That comes first. And then let me just say that. Just a thought crossed my mind. Let me just say that also. but we are called to be we are called to be sojourners. We are just passing through. We're living in tents. It's not about this life. But our eyes, as verse 10 says, for he was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So he was looking forward. And that word look means look, expectation, waiting for this promise. And actually, if you read a bit further, it says that, that they were actually, if they actually looked back of where they came from, they probably would have gone back there. But Abram knew when he left, he's going to be fixated upon that place. He's not looking back. He's looking to what he's following Jesus. He's following as he as he's leading. And I was thinking, like, what does it mean to look to God? Huh? We say, I look to you. What does it mean for us? And actually what it comes down is faith. Believe. Put your trust. The Puritans said this thing. They said it means looking to God means to rolling ourselves unto Christ. To trust and to believe. To follow wherever he may lead us. To look to him. There's these quotes of Billy Graham. He says, my home is in heaven. I'm just traveling through this world. You are a citizen. If you belong to Jesus, your home is in heaven, not here on this earth. How are you spending your time, your talents, and your treasures? Are you spending it for him, or are you just living for yourself? The Bible says that as long as we are here on earth, we are strangers in a foreign land. This is also Billy Graham. He says, there are enemies to be conquered before we return home. This world is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. Heaven doesn't make this life less important. It makes it more important. Measured against eternity, our time on earth is just a blink of an eye. But the consequences of it will last forever. Just like that. And your life here is gone. I think I'm sort of getting to a place where I'm like thinking I'm not old yet, but I'm thinking like I'm getting old. And I watch these old people walking in the streets, especially, well, I always drive past, what's it? The old Silvercray. And then I see all the old people going. It's like, I'm like, I'm also going to be old as like that one day. And I'm seeing this old guy, and he's walking. I'm like, that's where I'm going to be one day. How am I living my life now? Am I living to the fullest? This doesn't make what our life less important. It makes it more important. The way we live today is going to have eternal consequences. We're only passing through. Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen. Invest your time, your talents, and your treasures in this life to share the gospel, to make disciples. Those are the ones that you can take with you. If we invest our time, our talents, and our treasures in the same manner like some of us want to accumulate wealth, imagine how many people that we will populate heaven. And I was just feeling, it's like, Lord, come and get hold of us. Give us your heart for those who do not know you. Let that not be the last thing that we do. We're just so consumed with our lives that we do not, as we are going, we won't even share the gospel with somebody. I want to kind of just provoke us in a sense, in a good way, and say, can we trust for the lost? Can we trust for salvations? Prepare the vessel. I'm going to send the harvest. God has already kind of said that, and I'm like, yes, Lord, help us to not just be so focused on the now and be focused on who we can draw unto you. And I'm going to land here. So how do we respond? How do we respond to change, uncertainty, to death, to lack, to storms, to earthquakes? We respond by faith. We trust him. And then we follow him. we follow him. Even if you're in a plane that's doing this, you trust him. That seat in that plane is not your substance. He is your substance. If you're in a plane, in a car, if you're going through great sadness, how do you respond? By faith. And you keep following his voice. You know, I think sometimes if we just hear God before we start becoming anxious about things, we respond to that situation by faith. And then he's calling us out of anxiety, out of fear, out of let's work harder, let's do this, let's do that. It's like, just Lord, what should I do? I'm going to take you to a land that you don't know. I don't see where I'm going. This situation is difficult, but I trust you. I trust you with all of my heart. You know how many people I spend time with and they have a trust issues? Like, they struggle to trust people. And it usually reflects or plays unto God. That we don't trust God. But if you don't do this by faith, you will become anxious. You will. Your whole world will fall apart when everything is shaking. But if you hold on to him who cannot be shaken, you will go through this life and you will pass through to your eternal home, which is with him. Let me read some scripture and end with that. Romans 12 verse 2. Do not copy the behavior and the customs of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Do not copy the behaviors and the things of this world. But let God change you by changing the way from a worldly mindset to his mindset, eternity in mind. And then it says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, who share in heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. Hebrews 12 verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, I don't believe. There's something wrong with my faith. Then we need to become like that guy who said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. By faith, I'm going through this great sadness. By faith, I'm going through the struggles. By faith, I'm hearing your voice. I'm trusting. I'm putting everything in you. I'm hearing your voice. I'm obeying, and I look to you. I look to you with everything in me. All right, so let's just close our eyes just where we are. I want you to take a moment and just, as David says, Lord, search me and know me. Show me if there's any wicked way in me. Show me if there's anything in me that does not reflect you. And I want us to take a moment and just ask ourselves, what are we living for? What are we spending our time, our talents, and our treasures on? What are we giving ourselves for? And just think about it. And then I want you to, if there's any area where the Lord convicts you on, and where he's like, say, trust me, or he's calling you out of something, I want you just there where you are, just to respond in your heart and say, Lord, yes, I want to get out of that, and I want to trust you. Fix my eyes on that which is eternal. Change my thinking, God, to that which is eternal. Lord Jesus, come and help me. Show me. What is that place in my life? Yes, it's in heaven, but as I live my life, how should I sojourn through this life? How should I keep pitching my tent and not living with the world latching onto me, but living free with a mind on Christ and what God has for me? Just if there's anything that the Lord is convicting you of, just stay where you are. Repent, ask for help, whatever. Just take this moment and just ask Him to come and help you. Maybe you're going through a massive, massive difficult time. The plane is shaking. It is like you want to grab to the seats, but that isn't even working. Maybe this morning you need to just trust is given. It's not something that's worked for. Trust is that you give. You trust somebody. You make a decision to trust. And this morning to say, Lord, I trust you in this. Trust you in this. Repent. Maybe you're in that situation because of decisions that you have made. Then you need to repent and say, sorry, Lord, please forgive me. I'm going to put my trust in you. Whatever that is. Thank you, Jesus. Those that are prophetic among us, if you feel any word or anything specific that you feel the Lord wants to come and highlight, just come and share that. If you have a word or something, I'm just going to give time for that.
So I had this word this morning already coming to me about in Joshua 10. They were approaching a battle and he needed some extra help, some extra time. And he was bold. He stood out in front of the whole community of Israel and he called out for the impossible to happen. He called, let the sun stand still. And let the moon stand still. This is big. This is big. He really put it out there. And it happened. It happened. And I was just feeling, as this message was going on today, I was just thinking, we need to be bold. We need to be bold and ask the Lord for things and not be hindered and things when the doctor says, no, it's impossible for X to happen. No, not for our Lord, not for our God. We don't have to sit back. There's battles to be won, and the Lord wants us to take these things so that we can get the love, as we heard earlier on, so that we can get the love to the people. But we need to be bold and step out. So I wanna encourage you. So if you're sitting here and you think there's certain things it's impossible, I wanna say shout out. Say, oh Lord, I need help. I need help so that we can pray. Those who's got the faith, even if it's only a little bit, like a mustard psyche, then we pray. Then we pray and ask, oh Lord, we are living in your ways and we're gonna trust you. We're gonna trust you. Anything's possible. Nothing is impossible.
Yeah, this was actually a dream that I had a couple of nights ago, and I just, God reminded me of it, that there was these guys going, and they were in a malaria area, and it was oaks coming from different countries, and they brought all these mosquito nets with them, and they were very fancy mosquito nets, and they were branded, and they were imported from very good countries, but when they put the mosquito nets up, the top of the mosquito nets were completely open. So it looked great, and it looked like it was going to do the job, but it was actually completely ineffective. And what I felt God saying is that sometimes we can do things that look right, and the branding looks right, and the outside all looks very impressive, and it looks very Olic. But those mosquitoes come in, and they still bring death, and they still bring disease. And so that it's not just about what it looks like on the outside, and it's not what looks impressive to people, but are we actually sealing ourselves in obedience to God and doing what He's actually asking us to do according to what He says, not just according to what looks good to people on the outside.
Who wants to be a disciple of Jesus? Disciple means one who follows. Huh? It's easy. Keep following Him. That's what it is, to follow Him. Wie's eerste?
So, something that happened this morning. So, it might be a coincidence, but I believe it's the Lord. So, from Friday, our internet on this property has been off. And, I really need internet at the moment, just for our business and just to be connected. So we were just, yeah. And then this morning, like, I was busy in the kitchen, and I'm like, yes, but I need this internet to work. I need to, for instance, this afternoon, I need to be online for a memorial service, and I need to do some work stuff and so on. And so in our work situation, when we go to houses, we clean houses. So sometimes we before we go and we pray, and we've got this one prayer that we say, like, we just pray fire. And so in this moment, I'm in the kitchen, and I'm like, I'm going to walk to this router, and I'm going to pray fire over this thing. And maybe the word fire is not applicable, but for me in this moment, it was. And I'm like, so this thing is flashing red for the, and I said fire over this thing. And all of a sudden, I think it just turns green. And it started working. I think it's still like kom nog by, maybe it was too much fire. But I'm thinking, but for instance, our internet in our house was working, and it's not working in the hall. I'm not sure if it's working now, but it was working when we left the house. And I was just like, oh Lord, I was like busy rattling. I need to make plans for this memorial service. I go watch it in the Spur or so. No stress. I want to do good uitsort. And it just took one prayer. And I want to encourage us. Maybe it's just one prayer for that connection.
It's actually so beautiful. I felt the scripture Philippians 4. Verse 6 and 7, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And if we just look at the golden thread of all the words that has come out even now, and Derek, what Derek shared for the stewardship, I believe that God is saying to us that we must not forget to pray. And that is that anxiety, this nervousness, is a symptom of prayerlessness. And that we become anxious because we are not connected with the source who gives us perspective over the circumstances that we face. And just to encourage us that we run to God in prayer, that we must be a people that seek Him so that we get His perspective for all our situations that we go through. And then there's a peace that will guard our hearts that, man, it doesn't make sense. Like, why are you so calm in the storm? Why are you sleeping in the boat when the storm is raging? It's because I'm seeing Him and I'm seeing what He says about the circumstance that I'm facing.
During worship, the one song we were singing about His holiness, and God, I was again reminded, and I, when Jesus healed, He spoke the word, "Be healed." And there's a word that's in the scripture, it says, Jesus says, "Be holy, for I am holy." So we always, I need to try and be holy, because He says, "Be holy, for I am holy." But I've said this before, that is a creation word. Be healed. Jesus is not demanding holiness from us. He's speaking power to be holy over you. It's not you trying to be holy. It's Him creating holiness in you. And I felt this morning, especially with this Conquer series that the men's also going to do, I felt the Spirit wanting me to speak that over this congregation this morning. So just close your eyes, hold your hands out, because it's receiving the power to be holy. And that is whether holy in all your life, not just in our sexual or that part of our lives, but to be holy in how we walk in this world, free from this world. And so, hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Lord, we receive your power right now, God. Not just the power when we speak about your power and receive the power of your cross, that is the power that we stand on this morning. So God, as I speak these words over us, and I speak it over myself, we receive it by faith, God. So congregation, church of God, be holy as I am holy.
Yes. We have actually done this post of scripture on Wednesday in the community, but I really felt it's applicable for us today. And it's just a piece of where, as Moses just said, where the Israelites move out of Egypt into the new, into the promise. And the piece that really stood out for me is that they started to grumbling against Moses and Aaron. And I really believe that's just a warning for us that as we move from the old into the new, that we're not grumbling, or that we're not moaning and groaning against our leaders, but that we will come underneath them and support them from this, from the old into the new that the Lord has laid on their heart, that we will really take hands as a church and say, yes, Lord, we will move. We will move as you lead our leaders. We will move from the old into the new, and we will be submissive under them and come under their authority.
Lord. Maybe Derek, just come and share what you, or how long is the song? We're not, is there a portion that you can play of it? Yeah, just a